old school.
It's going to be stolen, I think, by the doctor. Yes, he's got it. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
Stolen by Bird and the cut to DJ. Yes!
Book him up for Kobe Bryant.
New era.
Oh! A jawbreaker! Curry way down to bang!
It's all basketball. Lace them up. It's time for 1010XL's Open Gym. Leading the break, here's R.J. Saunders.
And it is the basketball show for the basketball fan. It is Open Gym on the Superstation on what is the final weekend of the NBA regular season. Should be a fun Sunday. 15 out of the 20 seeds are still undetermined. So for a lot of these teams, it's simply win and end. Especially for the Orlando Magic, who, if they win the day against the Bucks, they'll stay at the 5 seed, head on the road to face the Cleveland Cavaliers in their first round playoff series in the Eastern Conference. Back with me after being out last week, Casey Dobson. How we feeling?
What's up, bro? You know, I had to throw some up, you know, into the air bricks up against the back of the toilet.
I'm saying that.
Yeah, I had to get it out, you know, got to get that demon out.
Understand. Are you excited for playoff basketball, though?
I am. I'm thoroughly concerned for our Magic. I mean, not looking good, but I mean, you know, as long as you got a chip and a seat in the table, right?
Absolutely. As long as you have a seat at the table, you're hoping to keep the number 5 seat at the table. You could have obtained the 2 coming into this week. You've kind of been in a free fall. Before we talk about the Magic, want to throw this out to you, your way in on the show is through the text line 641-1010. Here is our question of the day. When it comes to this team, if you could only choose one number one to add to this team, who would it be? Penny or T-Mac? Who would be your number one that you would select to be the one for this Orlando Magic ball club? 641-1010. So this last day should be fun. 15 out of the 20 seeds still undetermined going into game 82. I don't remember the last time this happened. I think 2004. I'm going to give you a lot of Lakers content here. I'm sorry. I think 2004, Sacramento needed to defeat Golden State and LA needed to defeat Portland. And the winner would have gotten the Pacific Division crown. I think Sacramento lost to Golden State. Then Kobe had those 2 insane shots, one being a game-tying basket over Reuben Patterson at the top of the key in Portland. And Gary Payton inbounds to Kobe on the left wing. And just he throws it up, says a prayer, goes in. Lakers win that ball game, win the Pacific Division. I don't remember something like this. And I got to tell you, these Orlando Magic players, they're about to give me a heart attack, man. Coming into this week, I think you needed to win one game at the time. And I believe at that time they were the 3 seed. You were, as I said, a couple games out of 2. You free fall. You've lost your last 3, including on Friday against the Sixers, 125-113. Now it's one game for your top 6 life against the Bucks, who reportedly are going to be without Giannis. Dame is probable for today's game. But check this out. You have to win. Basically, this has to go chalk. So Milwaukee is facing Orlando, Atlanta facing Indiana, Brooklyn facing Philly, Toronto facing Miami. If Orlando wins, Indiana wins, Philly wins, Miami wins, Orlando's your number 5 seed. And then you're facing Cleveland in the first round. So there's a lot of scenarios where you can keep the 5, but you have to win. You lose, you could drop as far as 8. After that, I don't know. I don't know how shell-shocked you become if you're the Orlando Magic. When at one time you were thinking about possibly hosting an opening round series, the first 2 games, you can still host, but you'll be hosting via game three and game four, if they are the eight seed, and let's just say you play Miami in the first round, I don't like your chances. Then you possibly defeat either the winner of Chicago-Atlanta in that 9-10 series. But the winner of that game, you get the Boston Celtics. Not ready yet. Orlando, not ready yet. I think you could win a first-round series against Cleveland. We talked about this weeks ago. This is, it's been a wild week. It's been a wild week, and they're leaving me speechless. And Franz Wagner, he met with the media following the loss, and he spoke on his thoughts when it comes to now the top six playoff fate hanging in the balance.
A pretty cool scenario where we're definitely looking forward to it, and should be a fun game on Sunday. And obviously it's great to do that back home. It's always a little bit more fun at home.
You are a better man than me, Franz. A much better man than me. My heart is beating fast now, and I'm not even playing. My heart is beating out of my chest. I would have been throwing trash cans following the loss because of the week we've had dropping our last three. Ripped out a couple urinals. I will give them this, though. Since Sunday, March 3rd, you've won 12 games. That's the good news. Bad news is you've lost nine. That eight-game homestand, good news, you won five. Bad news, you lost to Golden State. You could argue that you should have beat Sacramento if the refs don't mess it up with whatever that call was that went in De'Aaron Fox's favor. But you also lost to Charlotte by nine? You lost to Houston? Was a 12-footer by DeAndre Ayton away, and you almost lost to Portland? Look, this is a young team. I have to give them that. That's something we have to remember as Orlando Magic fans. This is a young team, and a team that is certainly on the rise. They've hit a lull. I'm not losing hope yet. Not for a second. And I think this summer, they're going to add pieces that are going to help this team tremendously. However, let's get to Jalen Suggs real quick. This was after the win against Chicago. Here's Jalen Suggs, and he said something that I think highlights that this team just has a little bit more to learn.
It's so hard to stay locked in because I can't wait to play in the playoffs. I'm so excited. Just something that a lot of us have never experienced before, a new opportunity for us all. And you have to get excited for that. It's impossible not to get, you know, amped up, a bit nervous. You know, all of those emotions and feelings, you know, you should feel them because it's brand new. But I think just how much we gel and how close we are as a unit, I think calms everybody down, you know, keeps everybody locked in at the task at hand. I think, you know, our OGs, Grandpa, Joe Ingles, I forgot for y'all who don't know, Gary, you know, all of our quote-unquote vets, Kale does a great job of it, you know, in keeping us grounded, you know, after a great win or after a tough loss like the other night, to where we can stay steady, you know, continue to close this thing out and get ready for what's ahead.
To me, you can't look that far. At that time, you do win against Chicago. That was a great win. I think the focus should have been on Milwaukee after that. Then you shift your attention to Houston. And you shift your attention to Philly. Then you shift your attention to Milwaukee again in this last game. But you gotta give it to them. This is a young team that's saying, listen, a lot of us haven't been to the playoffs. Paolo's in year two. Franz is in year three. We haven't seen this before. So to see that at to the very least we're guaranteed a play-in spot, we handled that a few weeks ago, to where now we're a top six seed and we'll be in a seven-game series against whether it had been the Knicks or the Cavs, who it most likely is going to be, should you win this game today. You can kind of take your eyes off of what's in front of you instead of looking towards the finish line. But there's been a lot of factors that have gotten in the way of that, right? I mean, Paolo hasn't looked like himself. Either that or defenses are just throwing multiple bodies at him. I think it was the game against the Rockets. Did any of you guys on Twitter see that picture of five Rockets players surrounding Paolo? I don't think Franz played in – I think Franz played in that game, and he left early with an injury. You came out completely flat against Charlotte. Philadelphia, my goodness, they couldn't miss from downtown. They could not miss. However, when you were a team that essentially controlled your own destiny with all of this, with one, maybe two wins, with the East looking the way that it looks, where the difference between a top six seed and the play-in was about one and a half, two games. Have to handle business. And we said this once we started the show, and it was the second half of the year, and that eight-game homestand, they were going to wet the bed against a couple of teams. Some of these games, they are going to have to learn how to win. You have to give it to them. Your three top scorers on this Orlando Magic team are all 22 and younger in Paolo, France, and Jalen. So a lot of games, sure, they are winning. But I don't know if any Orlando Magic fan at the time wants to hear that we're just focused on making the NBA playoffs. That's all we're focused on. We're just trying to get to the finish line and want to go to the playoffs and see that experience, which I feel is going to be an amazing experience. But I can be excited right now. You, the listener, can be excited now. Franz saying that this is going to be fun, whatever he has to say to psych himself out, whatever the team has to say. But now I feel it's time for guys like Joe Ingles, Wendell Carter Jr., Gary Harris, and the rest of the crew now to sit the marquee players down and say, listen, this is one game for all the marbles. Either we're facing Cleveland and that's our focus, or now we're making a road trip down the road to Miami, potentially, in a 7-8 matchup. And now we have to win one out of two games, two possible games, just to make the playoffs. Not what anybody foresaw. Lock in today. Defeat Milwaukee. Win. That is all. Then you can focus on Cleveland, which, to me, Cleveland doesn't scare me. They look like a team that's free-falling themselves. Questions about Donovan Mitchell. Is Donovan Mitchell going to be on the roster come next year? Could he be headed to Orlando? Does Orlando make a trade for him? Did they learn from last year? They got beat up by the Knicks physically. Got beat up by the Knicks, and they couldn't handle it. Orlando, when they're at their best, one of the better defensive teams in the league. And coming out of the All-Star break, if you guys remember, the Orlando Magic going to Cleveland and win. Split the season series. I don't know, still, with Orlando free-falling, I don't know if there is any team that would like to face the Orlando Magic in a seven-game series. Because I feel like Jamal Mosley is going to snap these guys out of it. Once they get into the playoffs, know who you're going to face. And granted, they are going to make a few mistakes here and there. I think Jamal Mosley will probably make substitutions the wrong way at the wrong time, being his first scratch as a head coach in the NBA playoffs. every possession matters. I don't think Paolo will show up 100% of the time. I think he's going to do his best to show up 95, 97% of the time. This is France's first time in the playoffs. However, I will say, France, what, played in the World Games? He knows what it takes to be a champion. This is NBA basketball. This is a little bit different. Guys start to zero in and lock on you. And all we got to do is win 4 out of 7. But I'm excited, folks. I'm also excited about this. We have a sponsor now. MyBookie. And Casey, let's run it right now as they give us this quick segment.
This magic moment.
The magic moment is brought to you by MyBookie.
Experience the Vegas thrill from the comfort of your phone. Anytime, anywhere. Only with MyBookie.
The Orlando Magic are coming in as a 4-point favorite over the Bucks in today's game. Casey Dobson and I are going to give you a couple bets we are looking at via mybookie.ag. Casey, are you ready?
Yeah. Full disclosure, I don't do very good at betting, so we're gonna see. I actually picked one that has nothing to do with NBA too, so we'll see how it goes.
I will say that I am not good with betting either. I'm like Keanu Reeves in Hardball when he's outside of the bar with his friend and he can't look at the TV. That's me. Never gambled before in my life either. First, I'll give you my three. Give me the under on 214.5, which is the over under on today's contest. I feel this is going to be a great defensive game. Orlando's going to pull away. Also, give me the over for Paolo Banchero. 22.5 points is the number. I think Paolo is going to have a little bit of a coming out party, especially with no Giannis. And with no Giannis, I think Jalen Suggs is going to find himself wide open. Give me the over on 3.5 threes. I think he is going to get hot in this game when Orlando needs it most. Casey, what are you looking at, man?
So I got the Magic at under 5.
Okay.
I keeping it with the Magic in basketball. I got Franz stealing +2. Let's get some steals. Yeah, okay. I found a little prop bet with that. Okay. And you know what? Let's go around the track. We got some NASCAR. Is it this weekend, NASCAR? Is it? Yeah, maybe. I don't know. You tell me.
You chose it!
Hey, I'm going to say yeah. And you know what? I went down the line and I was like, dude, I had a good friend growing up named Todd Rutherford. How about Todd Gilliland?
Okay.
At +40,000.
Ooh.
So place your bets on that kid. He's going to be doing things on the track for sure.
That is this magic moment brought to you by MyBookie and MyBookie.ag. As well as their live casino that they have, where if a day to the casino has been canceled due to life, due to weather, you can now, from the comfort of your own home, continue that casino experience with their live casino. So this is an All Orlando Magic show in honor of the Orlando Magic having their final contest at home against the Milwaukee Bucks. I have my Orlando Magic little bracelet, hair tie on my wrist for good luck for the Orlando Magic. And we also have two Orlando Magic experts here to break down today's game and what they've thought about the Orlando Magic this year. We start off with Ryan the Hacker Green. You know him. You love him here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM with his show Hacker After Dark. And then we'll have Jonathan Osborne of the Six Man Show, an Orlando Magic podcast for the fans by the fans. Going to be talking with us about what does he think Orlando's going to do this offseason? Who are the names that Orlando should be targeting to bring in this summer? But we start out with Ryan the Hacker Green on a final weekend of the NBA regular season. We are presented by MyBookie. This is Open Gym on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
getting money ain't holding me.
It's All Hoops. Open Gym on 1010XL.
1010XL and 92.5 FM. It is the Open Gym on the final day of the NBA regular season. Dropping gems within the gym is a very, very special guest and a guy that I hold near and dear to my heart. He has seen me from my infancy when I got into the business, and now as I continue to grow, he's still there every step of the way, and that is Ryan the Hacker Green. You hear him every night on 1010XL with his show Hacker After Dark, and he is a diehard Orlando Magic fan, and he is so kind to give us a couple moments here on the program. Hack, welcome to the gym, man. How are you?
RJ, I'm good, man. Thank you for having me on, and I've been listening every Sunday, man. And this show is great. It's probably long overdue to have an NBA-centric show on the radio station, and you're doing a fantastic job, brother.
Nah, Hack, I really have to thank you for that. I mean, the friendship that we've cultivated over the years, and as well as me looking at you as one of my biggest mentors since I've gotten into this business 5 years ago. It's always a pleasure having you on, and I always love our basketball talk, so this is really a treat for me. So when we talk about this Orlando Magic team, what have been your thoughts on the team this year? I mean, this was a squad that clearly wasn't looked at as a team that would have the success that they have had this year. You maybe thought they'd get into the play-in, but not necessarily the playoffs. But they're certainly surprising the league, and it seems like they're only getting started here. What have been your impressions of the team this season?
Honestly, they're probably a year ahead of schedule. I mean, you look at what they've done since they hired Jamal Mosley, and the rebuild really began 3 years ago. From 22 wins to 34 wins last year, and this year they've doubled their win total, more than doubled their win total from where they were just two calendar years ago. Right. So it is pretty impressive. And when you also consider RJ, man, I mean, only two guys on the roster are 27 years old or older. Of course, Joe Ingles and Gary Harris. Everybody else is 26 and younger, right, which is just shocking when you think of Jonathan Isaac and Mo Wagner and Wendell Carter. Guys that have played a ton of basketball are still very, very young in their NBA careers.
Absolutely. And you bring up 2 points here that I want to touch on, and I'll start with Coach Jamal Mosley, and then we'll get to the youth of the Orlando Magic team a little bit later in this interview. What have been your thoughts on Coach? When he first got the job, I remember you and I talked about it here at the studio, and I have to admit, I didn't know a lot about the guy. I thought maybe Kenny Atkinson would be a better fit. I also tried talking myself into saying, hey, Becky Hammond may have been a good fit for what she had done in the summer league with the San Antonio Spurs 1 year. But you can see he's really put his identity on this team. They play for him. We've had Dante Marcatelli come on the program and say that all the players that have been on this roster do not want to let Coach down. What have been your thoughts on Coach Jamal Mosley since he's gotten the job with the Orlando Magic?
The one thing I knew about him, and truthfully I didn't know much, but the one thing I did know from his time as an assistant with the Dallas Mavericks is Luka Doncic loved him, all right? And if Luka Doncic loves you, that's good enough for me.
Absolutely.
So I was pretty excited when they brought him in. And truthfully, year one, you know, look, it was they stripped it down. I mean, this was a bare bones operation just two calendar years ago. I mean, they were assembling talent, but Franz Wagner was a rookie. Jalen Suggs was a rookie. Paolo Banchero hadn't arrived on the scene yet. So there were a lot of things still to figure out. But you saw kind of the development, right? The team battled and they played hard, even though they lost 60 games.
Right.
And I go back to last year. Last year, when they were eliminated from the playoffs with about 2 to 3 weeks left, man, again, they played really hard. Most teams will, quote-unquote, tank for lottery position.
Right.
Orlando didn't do that. Orlando tried to win those remaining games. That, to me, told me a lot about the culture of this team, and that has obviously propelled them into where they are now. Again, doubling their win total from 2 years ago, and they're guaranteed at least a play-in spot, depending on what happens here in the season finale against Milwaukee coming up this afternoon.
Ryan the Hacker Green, our guest. He is the host of Hacker After Dark. You can hear that weeknights from 8 to 10 on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. So as we shift our attention towards the young group of the Orlando Magic, Paolo Banchero, without question, is the face of this team, and he was named an all-star, but he hasn't been looked at by the national media as one of the top guys in the league. I think the Ringer, I looked at one of their articles, and they don't even have him listed as one of the top 30 guys within the association. For a guy that's averaging just a little bit over 20 points a night, was Rookie of the Year last year. Year two, he's named an NBA All-Star. You would think that the story would be different for him when it comes to the major media speaking about the next wave of talent in the NBA.
Oh, I agree. I mean, if they don't have him in the top 30, that's absolutely ludicrous. And RJ, there's a lot of parallels between the Jaguars and between the Orlando Magic, you know,
right.
Two suffering franchises, two very loyal fan bases, and two teams that don't get covered very well outside their regional or local markets. And both teams would apply there. Back to Paolo, I was wrong. I was a Jabari Smith guy.
Me too.
I had that conversation.
Yeah.
When you were out in Houston, I was a Jabari Smith guy. When Orlando drafted Vancaro, I remember on draft night, I was like, oh my gosh, what are they doing? I have never been so happy to be wrong in my entire life. They've got a stud. They've got that dude. You always want to draft that quote-unquote dude at number one, and Orlando has done that for a guy that's, what is he, 21 years old?
Right.
He just turned 21, and to do what he's doing is absolutely incredible. And there's still a lot of room to grow. He still is, I mean, he turns the ball over a lot. There's still issues in his game. But, man, when he's good, he's really good. And Orlando fans have to be salivating, you know, 2, 3, 4 years down the road if he keeps developing what he and Franz Wagner could potentially become.
And I want to stay on Franz Wagner here for just a moment because there was an interesting stat in which I read just a couple of days ago that teams in NBA history that have recorded 45-plus wins and their top three scorers all being at age 22 or younger, the only squad to accomplish that feat in the association is this year's Orlando Magic team with Paolo Banchero, Franz Wagner, and Jalen Suggs. Now, we could talk about Jalen Suggs ad nauseum and how important he's been to this franchise as well as the squad this year, but what have been your thoughts on Franz Wagner and he being that complementary piece to Paolo Banchero?
I love Nick Vucevic. I love everything about Nick Vucevic. He was one of my top 10 favorite Orlando Magic players of all time.
Right.
But thankfully, Chicago agreed to that trade. Because the only reason Franz Wagner is in Orlando is because of the Vucevic trade. Orlando got Wendell Carter, by the way, in that trade, and a couple of first-round picks. And one of those first-round picks turned out to be Franz Wagner at number 8. Nothing against the 7 guys that were taken ahead of Franz Wagner a couple of years ago, but I think he was the best player that was drafted in that draft. He is absolutely sensational. And again, he's 21 years old, right? He's just starting. Yeah. He and his brother Mo helped Germany to a World Cup basketball championship last summer. I mean, the guy is, he's a winner, man. And you can see he hasn't played the last couple of games, and you can see the effect that had on Orlando with him not being in the lineup. But Paolo gets all the love and with good reason, but man alive, I think Franz Wagner is every bit as important. And you mentioned Jalen Suggs, quickly to him, RJ.
Yeah.
We talk about big threes, right? We talk about obviously LeBron, Bosch, and Wade, and there's different incarnations of big threes. I'm not sure how many quote-unquote big threes have all been developed in-house, meaning drafted by one organization.
Right.
Boy, Banchero, Wagner, and Suggs have the potential to be a big three in Orlando, all in-house guys for a long, long time to come.
Ryan the Hacker Green, our guest. You can hear him here weeknights on the Superstation with his program Hacker After Dark from 8 to 10 p.m. All right, Hack, so the Magic have a lot of money going into this offseason. You're hearing a lot of names connected to this squad: Klay Thompson, Malik Monk. Orlando may take a big swing and try to go after Donovan Mitchell this offseason if the Cavs and Mitchell's camp can't agree to an extension. If the Magic were to come to you and say, hey, who are a few names that you think we should target this summer to bring onto this squad going into next season, how would you play this?
They got a lot of money. I mean, they can probably do one max guy or two almost max guys in free agency if they so choose. I think in the entire Eastern Conference, the only team that has more money than them is Detroit. I mean, we're talking a lot of dollars Orlando could potentially spend. And I've heard a lot of names. I mean, Klay Thompson is intriguing, but I got to tell you, RJ, if you give me Donovan Mitchell, and you put Donovan Mitchell out there with Banchero and Wagner and Suggs and Wendell Carter, that to me is pretty appealing, man.
Absolutely.
I think of all the guys that they could get, Donovan Mitchell has piqued my interest the most. Now, the question is, does Orlando want to do that? They have not really spent money on a big-time free agent.
Right.
They've developed guys in-house. They've drafted guys. But is it the time now to maybe say goodbye to Markel Fultz or potentially a Jonathan Isaac to free up that money to go out and get a Donovan Mitchell and maybe another free agent to boot? So it'll be a really interesting offseason. I don't want to disrupt too much of this young core.
Right.
And the young core meaning Banchero, Wagner, Jalen Suggs, Wendell Carter. And I like what they have with guys like Cole Anthony and Anthony Black.
Yeah.
But if you have to say goodbye to a Gary Harris, if you have to say goodbye to a Markel Fultz, potentially a Jonathan Isaac, but that allows you to bring in a Donovan Mitchell and somebody alongside him, that would be something I would definitely, definitely consider.
And since you brought him up, I got to talk about him. Jonathan Isaac, I mean, it's been quite incredible what he's been able to accomplish this year individually and for this Orlando Magic team as a whole. And you get love from Stan Van Gundy on Shaq's jersey retirement night there in Orlando when Stan says that Jonathan Isaac may be the best defender in the NBA. Now it's not only him, but other members of the media from across the association saying that the best defender in the NBA is wearing an Orlando Magic uniform. What's been your thoughts on Jonathan Isaac and what he's been able to do this season?
The Minister of Defense, right? For
yes.
Jonathan Isaac. That's
yes.
the nickname, and I love it. I'm just happy he's healthy. I mean, your heart just went out to him really since the COVID year when they were
right.
playing at Walt Disney World and he tore his ACL. RJ, he hasn't been right since. I mean, we're talking 3.5-4 years, and he finally has been healthy a majority of this year. He has missed some time due to maintenance. He doesn't play on back-to-backs normally. He has missed a couple of games with a sprained ankle, but the knee has been good for the most part this year.
Right.
And he's been out there and he's been doing his thing, which is great to see. And if the Magic want to make any sort of run in the postseason, Jonathan Isaac, particularly on the defensive end, is going to have to make a big impact. But I just think overall, I'm just happy to see him out there because he missed so much time.
Right.
And it's still amazing that he's still a relatively young guy. I hope he's in the Magic future. Again, he's one of the ones that I do wonder about. Gary Harris, Fultz, and Isaac are the three
yeah.
that you hear that may not be around if Orlando wants to go free agent shopping. But I would love to find a way to keep Jonathan Isaac in Central Florida.
Final couple of moments with Ryan the Hacker Green. He is the host of Hacker After Dark, and you can listen to that weeknights from 8 to 10 on 1010 XL. So we've talked about the team from a macro level, but now I want to zero in on you, Hack, as an Orlando Magic fan. I mean, you went through the Shaq and Penny years, and they go to an NBA Finals. They lose to Akeem. Then you had the McGrady years, and unfortunately, that didn't pan out the way that many hoped that it would just because Grant Hill was dealing with his fair share of injuries, and during that time, they weren't able to put the cast of characters around McGrady that would have been needed to compete in the East and win an NBA championship. Dwight takes the Orlando Magic to the NBA Finals in 2009. They lose to the Lakers. Then you have a lot of downtime there. However, Orlando's now turned it around, and they're on the come up. As a fan, how does it feel to you to see your team accomplishing what they're accomplishing, not only this season, but it looks like for seasons to come?
I mean, I'm on cloud nine. I mean, Orlando is in the black hole of the NBA for 13 out of the last 15 years.
Right.
It has been awful, really, since Dwight left. And in fact, the 2 years they made the playoffs, I think they won one game against
yeah.
Toronto, maybe
yep.
one game against Milwaukee. They have like two playoff wins in the last decade.
Right.
So having them get to the mid-40s and win already, and we haven't even gotten to the postseason yet, getting back into the postseason, it's been so much fun. It's been so rewarding. Will it be disappointing when the season comes to an end? Yes. But I keep telling people, this is not a one-off. This is the beginning. Banchero, Wagner, and Suggs, like you mentioned, are all 22 or younger. The team itself has only two guys that are over the age of 27. They have the ability to add free agents. What you've seen this year in Orlando with doubling their win total in just two calendar years, you should expect to be the norm moving forward as they add more talent, as Banchero, as Wagner get more experience. And keep in mind, we haven't really even seen Anthony Black very much.
Right.
We haven't seen hardly any of Jet Howard.
Right.
Jet Howard was a beast in the G League, the other first-round pick.
Yes.
And Orlando has two first-round picks coming up in 2025. One of them is the Denver Nuggets pick. It probably won't be a great selection, but they're going to have two more first-rounders
yes.
in the 25 draft. So, RJ, it's just the beginning of what could be a very nice run down there for the Orlando Magic.
I'm a Los Angeles native. The Lakers are always going to be my number one team. However, since moving to Florida and talking to guys like Dante Marcatelli, Kendra Douglas, Jeff Turner, and others, the Orlando Magic have without question become my second favorite team. I am so glad to be a member of the Orlando Magic fan club, and especially when I'm able to talk Orlando Magic hoops with Ryan the Hacker Green. He is the host of Hacker After Dark. You can hear that weeknights from 8 to 10 on the Superstation, 1010XL and 92.5 FM. Hack, it has been a pleasure talking to you. Hopefully we can do this again once the playoffs come around shortly.
RJ, you're the man. Great job with this show, buddy. Anytime you need me, just give me a call.
Absolutely.
Back to the action on Open Gym on 1010XL.
Back here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM, it is the Open Gym. So glad you're here with us on what is the final day of the NBA regular season. 15 out of the 20 seeds are still undetermined going into game 82. So today is must-watch basketball if you are an NBA fan. Thank you so much to Ryan the Hacker Green for joining us earlier in the program. Now dropping gems within the gym is Jonathan Osborne. He is the co-host of the Six Man Show. It's an Orlando Magic podcast. You can follow him on X at J_Osborne21. And I really enjoy what we do here on Open Gym here in Northeast Florida, getting these experts to talk about the Orlando Magic and what's going on with that franchise. And we'll be continuing to do that once we get into the playoffs. But I highly encourage that you also lock in to the Six Man Show, and Jonathan and Luke do an incredible job with their podcast. And I am so honored and grateful to have Jonathan on the program to give us a couple moments to talk about the final game against the Milwaukee Bucks for the Orlando Magic. Welcome to the gym, Jonathan. How are you?
Well, first of all, really, really appreciate the intro and gassing me up there. But no, RJ, I'm doing really well, man. I appreciate you having me on.
Absolutely, man. And before we get into the Orlando Magic team this season and the rough week that they've had going into this contest against the Bucks, I asked this question to the listeners and want to get your perspective on it. When it comes to this year's team, which number one would you rather have to add on to this ball club, Tracy McGrady or Penny Hardaway?
I'm going to have to go with Tracy McGrady.
Okay.
That's my guy. Growing up, that was my basketball idol. He was the reason that I fell in love with the game of basketball. And, you know, you've got, you know, guys in Paolo Banchero and Franz Wagner that can really handle the ball. And I just feel like a guy with that type of scoring prowess and Tracy McGrady, a guy that could play make a bit in his own right. I would love to see, and especially, you know, he kind of fits the Jeff Weltman mold, you know.
Absolutely.
Positionless, the size and the length and everything like
yeah.
that. So as much as I love Penny and he'd be fantastic on this team with those guys, I'll have to go with my guy T-Mac.
Tracy McGrady, the NBA Hall of Famer, Orlando Magic grade, possibly the next Orlando Magic player to get his jersey number retired in the Kia Center. All right. We have gotten the lovey-dovey, mushy stuff out of the way and reminisced about one of the greats of all time. Now let's get to this year's team. They've dropped their last three games, and now they got to win this one against Milwaukee in order to stay out of the play-in. How nervous are you, if at all, about this Orlando Magic ball club's chances today?
My anxiety level has been growing over the past couple of weeks here as the team has dropped their last three in a row. I think it's four out of their last five, even right. Going back to one of their most recent wins against Portland. They just really didn't look all that great. The team, you know, eerily seems pretty calm. You know, you look at Franz Wagner after the loss, what was that,
right.
Friday night to the 76ers, and he's talking about how it's a, you know, pretty cool situation to have the ability to clinch at home in front of the fans, which, you know, I appreciate that sentiment, but it's not exactly what you want to hear when, you know, you've gone into really each of the last three games here with all you have to do is win a game and you clinch the playoffs for your team. And now you're hoping that you're able to pull out this final game of the regular season at home against Milwaukee so that you don't find yourself in the play-in. So I'm a little bit nervous. This game against the Bucks, you know, they're not going to have Giannis.
Okay.
They may not have Chris Middleton as well, but, you know, Dame Lillard and Bobby Portis killed us last week.
Right.
But, yeah, I'm hoping these guys, they raise up to the occasion a little bit. They looked a lot better Friday against Philly defensively than they have these last handful of games. And that's what it's going to take. They're going to have to be really good defensively. They're going to have to get offensive contributions, obviously, from Paolo and Franz. They're going to need some help from Jalen Suggs, Mo Wagner, Cole Anthony. You know, all those guys are going to have good games as well. But even if they don't, you know, even if they lose to Milwaukee and they end up in the play-in, you've got two chances to win one game.
Right.
If you're in the 7-8 game, it's probably going to be against, you know, Miami. If you end up, you know, having to play the winner of Atlanta, Chicago, I like our odds there. But
right.
Just take care of business on Sunday, and you don't have to worry about that. And you punch your tickets to the playoffs.
Jonathan Osborne, our guest, he is the co-host of the Six Man Show, an Orlando Magic podcast for the fans, by the fans. All right, call me crazy, but just hear me out really quick. I feel that the recent losing streak may be a part of the process for this team. I mean, I believe many thought this team would make the play-in and then hope to make the playoffs. They've certainly exceeded expectations. They're young and still growing, and I also think they're going to do outstanding in the offseason, bringing in pieces that will make this team even better. However, do you think that this recent stretch does show that this team has a lot to learn?
I think so. I go back to the loss to the Charlotte Hornets, and after that game, Jalen Suggs was saying that, you know, he was having a hard time sort of locking in because he was so excited for the playoffs. You know, he's never experienced that and really looking forward to that. And you will not find a bigger Jalen Suggs fan than me, you know,
right.
Personally, professionally. But you have to win the games to get to the postseason. And I do think that gave us a little bit of a peek into the psyche of this young team who were probably, you know, looking at the chicken, you know, before the egg here,
right.
Putting the cart before the horse, so to speak. And, you know, they got a little bit too excited about playing in the playoffs before they were actually there, took their eyes off the prize for a couple of games there, and now they're trying to find that defensive intensity. We're talking about a team that all year has been top three, top five in defensive rating in the NBA, and over the course of the last five games, they are 27th in defensive rating. Only Charlotte, Utah, and Houston have been worse,
wow.
And that's just not the Magic's identity. Again, they've been one of the best defensive teams in the
right.
league. They got a little bit of that swagger back, I felt like, against the Philadelphia 76ers in terms of the effort and defensivity. The sharpness and the focus weren't quite there, which maybe you would expect with them not really being on their A game the last week or so.
Right.
But hopefully they can get back on track against Milwaukee and clinch the postseason in front of the fans.
Talk to me about Paolo Banchero. I mean, he was named Rookie of the Year in year one. Year two, he's named an NBA All-Star. He's only one of two Orlando Magic players to do that, the other being Shaquille O'Neal. So he's in great company there. What have you enjoyed out of his play over the last two seasons since he's been named a member of the Orlando Magic Ball Club?
Yeah, he's just taken the offense to another level and has given this team a real alpha, I think, which is what they were missing, right? You had a couple of promising pieces in Franz Wagner before this season. Didn't know quite exactly what you had with Jalen Suggs, but the way that Paolo Banchero came in last year and just really asserted himself as the team's best player from day one, being that guy that you can give the ball to each and every possession and trust that he's going to make the correct decision. At the end of the game, if you need a bucket, you know, he's going to put you in a good position to go and get one. He's just been incredibly impressive, like you talked about, near unanimous Rookie of the Year.
Right.
all-star in his second year. As great as the Magic have been this year, you know, they wouldn't be anywhere close to what they've been without the play of Paolo Banchero.
Right.
Been struggling a little bit recently as teams are really gearing up for the postseason and really emphasizing him as the head of the snake offensively for the Magic and trying to knock him off his game. But, you know, young players go through struggles. Paolo's no exception to that, but I'm really, really confident that he's going to come out all the better for all the attention that he's received this season.
Is there a player on this squad that you feel has been an unsung hero? I mean, we talk about Paolo Banchero. We also talk about Franz Wagner ad nauseum and how great of a complimentary piece he has been for Paolo this season. But who's a guy on the roster this year that you feel should get more recognition and more love from either the national media or just Orlando Magic fans in general?
I mean, people have been talking about this kid all year long, so it's hard for me to call him the unsung hero, but I do feel like he still hasn't been given enough attention, at least nationally, and that's Jalen Suggs. You know, this is a kid that a lot of people, even so much as a year ago, were writing off as a bust, was great at Gonzaga, was the fifth pick in the draft, but hasn't really shown that he could stay on the court offensively in a way that, you know, year after year, it's been almost like a 10% jump in efficiency from behind the arc in, you know, his first three seasons, and the way that he stepped it up again defensively this year, a guy who every single night is being tasked with guarding the other team's best perimeter player, you know, whether it's guys like Steph Curry or Damian Lillard or Donovan Mitchell, Jalen Brunson, you name it, that guy steps up to the task each and every night, and on top of that has just grown so much offensively this year. Yes, he's improved as a three-point shooter, but I think he's also shown flashes this year that he can be a guy that you can just give the ball and go get a bucket in his own right. So he's deserving of a lot of love. He's gotten a lot of love this year, but as good as he's been, I just still don't think people are talking enough about just how good Jalen Suggs has been.
Jonathan Osborne, our guest. He is one half of the Orlando Magic podcast entitled The Sixth Man Show. So I get it that this young ball club has had their troubles this week, dropping their last three games, as we have spoken about. However, many forget that this is a team that just not too long ago was in the mix for being the three or maybe even the two seed going into the playoffs. However, you don't see the national media giving this team the credit that I feel that they deserve. Why do you feel that is, in your opinion?
I think it's one of those things that you just have to earn. You know, the Magic have not really been part of the national conversation for the better part of the last decade, you know, at the sort of post-Dwight era. You go back to, you know, the 2009-2010 seasons, like ESPN was constantly in the Orlando Magic building. The Magic were constantly being talked about on ESPN as one of the best teams in the league. When you're one of the best teams in the league with one of the best players in the league, like the Magic had in Dwight Howard at the time, you get talked about. That's just really the nature of the business there. Obviously, you know, teams like New York, Chicago, the Los Angeles Lakers, the Boston Celtics, always going to drive the most views, always going to drive the most clicks. And the Magic are on the rise. You know, a guy like Zach Lowe from ESPN has given the Magic a good amount of shine this season. And, and recently, as we're talking about the All-NBA, All-Defensive voting that's going to be happening, he's been talking about Jalen Suggs, talking about Jonathan Isaac a ton. So I think, you know, it's one of those things that you have to earn. Is it frustrating as a Magic fan? Absolutely, especially when those outlets do decide to talk about you when they don't exactly shine you in the proper light. That can be a little bit frustrating. But I do think that the Magic's time, once again, in the spotlight is coming. And a big performance in the postseason here in a very competitive first round, maybe even winning a first round series, would go a long way with that.
You know, we talk about the Orlando Magic here, and they're going to be wrapping their season up here momentarily, and then they're going to shift their attention towards the NBA playoffs, and you hope that they have a deep run this postseason. However, I feel that this offseason is going to be a big one for them. I mean, they're going to have a lot of money at their disposal this summer, and there's been a few names to be rumored around as far as who the Orlando Magic could target. Klay Thompson's been a name that you've heard half the year. You're also now seeing in recent reports Malik Monk could be a guy that they go after. They may take a big swing and go after a guy like Donovan Mitchell to be that third guy in the Orlando Magic grouping of Paolo Banchero and Franz Wagner. If the franchise were to come to you and say, hey, give us a couple of names that you think we should target this summer, give me a few names that you would give to them.
Yeah, there's a couple of different angles I think that you could look at this from. You know, do you believe that Jalen Suggs can become the number one point guard for this team? Is he a guy that is going to be able to facilitate and create for others as well as go and get his own bucket? There's been questions about, you know, Markelle Fultz and Wendell Carter Jr. this season and just their durability, and are those guys going to be long-term options? I also think you need a lot of shooting. You need to add shooting to this team. That's become really apparent in the last couple of weeks, especially some of those guys that you mentioned. If it's, you know, Klay Thompson, a guy who used to be, you know, one of the best two-way players in the league,
right,
is a guy that with all the injuries seems like, you know, he's become a little bit bitter, understandably, you know, in Golden State, and a guy that used to be, you know, one of the very best players in our league. Is he a guy that maybe just needs to change his scenery, you know, with his championship-level experience, you know, what he can bring to a locker room and to a young team? If he's willing to buy in and the Magic is willing to buy into him for the right price, I don't know if I would hate that pick, but it does have to be the right match for both parties there. A guy like Malik Monk, you know, is he looking for maybe a little bit of a bigger role than what he's had in Sacramento, you know, mostly coming off of the bench there? Again, if it's for the right price, that's a guy that is going to give you instant offense, is going to be able to shoot the cover off the ball. A guy like Tyus Jones, who a lot of Magic fans were targeting around the trade deadline, he's a guy that's expiring and has been one of the league leaders over the course of the last few seasons in assist-to-turnover ratio for a young team that has trouble taking care of the basketball. Is that a guy that you want to look at? We talk about Wendell Carter Jr. Is he the future of the team at the center position? I look at a guy like Nick Claxton, who's going to be a free agent this year,
who
you know, does have some question marks there as well. But, you know, could the Magic, you know, use a real rim protector and a real vertical threat? I think maybe they could. So those are some guys that I think they might be willing to take a look at this summer. And, yeah, just trusting that Jeff Weltman and Anthony Parker are going to, you know, push the right buttons, pull the right levers, and get the right guys in this building for this team to take the next step next year.
Jonathan Osborne, our guest. He is the co-host of the Sixth Man Show and Orlando Magic podcast. All right, a couple more for you before we get out of your hair here, man. And thanks again for joining us on the program. I'm going to speak this into existence. The Orlando Magic win today's game against the Milwaukee Bucks. Then they shift their attention towards the Cleveland Cavaliers because that would be the 4-5 matchup once we get to the Eastern Conference playoffs. What are your early impressions of a Magic Cavs first round series?
Yeah, well, I mean, they split the season series, so, you know, you have to feel pretty good going into that matchup. Donovan Mitchell is a guy who, you know, as great as he is and as talented as he is, hasn't looked, 100% since coming back from his recent injury. And that's a team that's been struggling a little bit, you know, recently. They looked pretty good at the end of that Pacers game Friday night. But I do think that's a team that the Magic match up really well, especially if they're on their A game defensively. Now, the offense is going to be the big question mark for the Magic going into the playoffs.
Right.
Can guys like Paolo, you know, get enough attention off of him? And can other guys sort of, you know, create that spacing for him to operate? Can a guy like Franz Wagner shoot the ball a little bit better than he has? And then really what every playoff series comes down to is whose role players are going to step up in a big way. Is Jalen Suggs going to be that guy? What does Jonathan Isaac look like in a playoff series? Is he going to be able to stay healthy? Is he going to be able to give you, you know, 25 to 30 minutes a game? What is Cole Anthony going to look like? If a guy like Anthony Black needs to step into the lineup, even though he hasn't really played in the past couple of months, is he going to be able to make an impact for you? So those are all things, you know, that I have questions on heading into the playoffs. And I really hope this team clinches against Milwaukee and we're able to see those questions played out.
You know, we had Ryan the Hacker Green on our program just a little bit earlier. He's a diehard Orlando Magic fan. He's also one of the hosts here on 1010XL. And I asked him this question from a fan perspective, and I want to get some insight from you here. I mean, as a Magic fan, you've gone through the Shaq and Penny years, and you saw the highs and also the lows with them losing in the NBA Finals to Hakeem and the Rockets, Shaq ultimately leaving, going to L.A. You also brought up Tracy McGrady in those years, and you wish that the collection of pieces around him would have been better, and Grant Hill staying healthy so that they could have made a deeper run in the NBA playoffs. You had a Dwight Howard era. They go to the NBA Finals, loses to Kobe and the Lakers, and unfortunately he left and also went to Los Angeles. Then you had a lot of downtime. Now it seems that the Orlando Magic are beginning to turn it around, and now they are a team on the rise. as a fan, how does it feel to you to see your team accomplishing what they're accomplishing?
Yeah, I know a lot of people have been frustrated the last couple of weeks with the team, and I understand that. But when you're able to sort of just take a quick step back and look at the overall big picture of this team, you know, this year you for sure know that you've got three guys that you're going to be able to build around for a long time in Franz Wagner, Paolo Banchero, Jalen Suggs. Now it's about building the team out around the rest of those guys. I would add Jonathan Isaac to that conversation.
Yes.
If he's able to maintain the level of health that he had this year. So potentially four guys there that you feel really, really good about. And now it's up to Jeff Weltman and Anthony Parker to build the team around those guys and to put them in positions to succeed. You know, for Paolo Banchero, he needs shooting to operate. You go back to the game last week against the Houston Rockets, there was an image that a photographer took. It's sort of like a bird's eye view of that side of the floor. And Paolo Banchero, there's not another Magic player in the frame, but he is surrounded by all five Houston Rockets defenders
Yes.
in the paint.
Yeah.
A guy cannot operate like that. You've got to get him shooters. You've got to be able to get him into space to be able to do what he does best. And then when the team collapses, you need shooters that he can kick out to and guys that are going to be able to knock down shots on a consistent basis. So when I look at this team, overall, I feel very positively moving forward. This is such a huge offseason for the Magic. You mentioned they've got a lot of cap space, and they need to be smart with that. You know, you can go out and spend a lot of money, but if you're not bringing the right guys in and those contracts really working out for you, then you're not going to be in a position to succeed long-term, especially with the changes to the collective bargaining agreement coming up. So I'm still very, very optimistic about this team heading into this summer, and this season is the worst that the Magic should be for a very long time. And that should be very exciting as a Magic fan.
All right, Jonathan, before we let you go, tell our listeners here how they can keep a hold of you as well as the Six Man Show and the other great things that you guys have going on down there in Central Florida.
Absolutely. So we release podcasts every Monday, every Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts, on YouTube as well. We also host a post-game live show on YouTube following every single Magic game. You can find us at youtube.com/the Six Man Show. You can find us all across social media at Six Man Show. And yeah, RJ, really, really appreciate you having me on here. Let's get this win against Milwaukee, and we'll probably see them in the playoffs if we're able to pull that off. And I'm just looking forward to playoff basketball back in the O here.
Absolutely. That is Jonathan Osborne. He is the co-host of the Six Man Show and Orlando Magic podcast. Make sure to follow him on X at J_Osborne21. Jonathan, thank you so much, and hopefully we can do this again by the time the playoffs roll around here.
Definitely, RJ. You just let me know. I'll be here.
There he goes. Jonathan Osborne. Great insight there by Jonathan. Love what he and Luke do with the Six Man Show. Also, thank you to Ryan the Hacker Green for joining us in that previous segment to give us all of the insight with the Orlando Magic and how they have done this year. Are any of our Orlando Magic fans out there nervous about today's game? It's simple. Win and you're in. You avoid the play-in altogether. If it's any consolation, the Orlando Magic's record in Game 82 when entering the game with 45-plus wins, 9 wins, 1 loss. Hopefully the Magic can keep themselves clear of the play-in with a win today. We are presented by MyBookie. For Casey Dobson, I'm RJ Saunders. Enjoy your Sunday. We'll talk to you next week when the playoffs roll around.